At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The bastards are back for this Friday edition of the podcast. We are brought to you in part by the Minute Media Podcast Network. The Red Sox just wrapped up a 4-game set with the Tampa Bay Rays losing all 4 games. They are currently tied for 3rd place in the American League East with the Toronto Blue Jays, who recently fired their manager, by the way. And they are currently also tied with the Toronto Blue Jays for the 3rd and final wild card spot. And if you want to know how scary this is getting, the lowly Baltimore Orioles are a game and a half behind Boston and Toronto for that 3rd wild card spot. So getting dicey. Quick disclaimer, as always, for any first time listeners, this is not a homer podcast. We call it how we see it. When the Red Sox are dominating, we will celebrate that. When they are getting destroyed, we will be critical and at times savagely blunt. If you are easily offended, press the stop button immediately. But for those who embrace it, let's get rolling. I am Terry Cushman, coming to you from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine. You can find me on Twitter at CushmanMLB. You can find the podcast account at Bastards_Boston. Joining us tonight from the mile high city of Denver by way of Quincy, Massachusetts, Andrew Dwan. Andrew?
What's going on?
Well, whole lot of sucking, basically.
Tough stretch, injuries, sloppiness. It's just been a kind of all swarming together at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I mean, this 2-week stretch in early July, as we've been harping on, supposed to be kind of the test for the second half to see if we had cleaned up the first half. And
yeah, they need that All-Star break bad. I don't think there's anyone in the league that needs it worse than them right now.
Yeah, you got Devers with back issues and Story probably coming back before then, but
GD with back spasms.
Yep, absolutely. Also joining us tonight, filling in for Job Goddard from the city of Providence, Rhode Island, Charlie Smith. Charlie?
Hey, guys. Yeah, happy to join you on an off night for me. But yeah, you know, similar to what Andrew just said, echoing that, nobody needs this more than us. So this is going to be pretty exciting once the All-Star break hits.
Hopefully. I haven't looked at the schedule, but I know it doesn't get too much easier. I know we got Cleveland coming up and they're playing a little bit better, but yeah, so 4-game sweep. On the last show, I actually predicted a sweep, but I thought it was a 3-gamer. I thought it was a 3-game set, so we botched the entire final segment of that show. Ended up being 4, and lost the fourth. I did have a better feeling about tonight's game, though, but ultimately it didn't pan out. So because it was a losing series, we will start on the duds side of the segment. Charlie, you're dud for the series.
You know, it's been kind of like a recurring story for me. No story pun intended. There's been one player that's just kind of been unfortunately struggling for an extended prolonged period of time. There was one that obviously didn't even leave the batter's box, and that was just too easy to say for a dud. But for me, it was someone that had an opportunity to do some work each night and struggled three of those nights. Granted, one was in a pinch hit at bat. I went with Bobby Dalbec here. In the series, just 1-for-9, 1 single, 5 strikeouts. Wasn't the team high, just to let you know how bad this team was really doing. But this is someone who consistently, series after series, is striking out once a night minimum. We're struggling to get batters over. Fielding isn't so much of an issue as it is for other players. But I just feel like every single time that Bobby Dalbec is at the dish, it's either going to be a ground out or a strikeout, and the strikeouts are pretty ugly.
Andrew, thoughts on Dalbec?
Yeah, I mean, he's needed a trip to Worcester more than anyone right now. Unfortunately, they just don't have the bodies with Tristan Casas, who I maintain has been arguably the worst injury the Red Sox have had all year. Without an answer, you got to just keep rolling him out, and it's unfortunate. So the only probably way to get his head on straight again is to send him down to AAA, let him, you know, maybe take a week off, then start raking against lower level competition. But until then, he's probably just too far in his own head right now for anything positive to come out of it, just, you know, by osmosis.
First base has been the black hole of the season offensively. Franchi's been good in spots, but has kind of had a rough 3 weeks. He had a golden sombrero in the first game of the series. If you're unfamiliar with that, a golden sombrero is if you strike out 4 times. It's almost impressive in a way that you could strike out that many times in one game, but Franchi did it. Following night, 3 strikeouts. He had a sack. He had a safety squeeze bunt, which brought the runner in from third. So he got an RBI on that. Not a bad at-bat there. So you're just basically picking your poison between him and Dalbec. And Dalbec just looks like a guy that's – he's probably not going to find it. Charlie's going to hate this analogy, but I think Bobby Dalbec is well on his way down Michael Chavis Avenue. And he's going to be playing for another team. Could he have another hot streak if the Red Sox happen to keep him for another season or two? Probably. But I don't know if I even like him as a platoon player. He's had his defensive struggles here and there, including at third base. And I don't see a ton of value in Bobby Dalbec at this point. Any more thoughts on first base?
Not without getting too far into probably what stuff we want to talk about later. So, yeah, I think we kind of covered them pretty well.
Yeah, Andrew's talking about deep dives, so there'll be some trade talk in that episode. And if we have a little bit of time, we might talk about some draft prospects as well. So, let's see. Andrew, go ahead. You're dud for the series.
Mine was a collective dud, and that was the defense. It let them down just over and over again with just mental breakdowns. I mean, people are mad about Franchi's lob into home, but I don't know what Vasquez was expecting there. I don't know how he didn't catch it. Then Ref Snyder, who's been pretty damn consistent and good, had that – I don't even know what that was.
Just fell asleep.
Yeah, I don't – just stop paying attention. it's come back to bite them in the ass pretty hard every single time that they've made a mental error like that. And they can't really afford it right now because this series, they didn't get hit too hard. They got babbipped to death. I mean, you saw what they did with Yonny Diaz. He hit that ball 15 feet. It just bounced on the turf, you know, 80 feet in the air. And when things are going that way, you can't afford to give up extra outs. And they did. And right now, I mean, Cora said it too. They're not good enough to play like that. And they were really good to start the season. And Trevor Story's been one of the best defensive players in the league. He's 99th percentile. He saved an ungodly amount of runs. Xander's looked better at short this year. Not too sure why, but he definitely has. Devers, you know, he's had his ups and downs, mostly ups this year. Outfield is what it is. Without Kike, you know, some guys are out of position. But, yeah, when they make those mental errors, they just compound. And then, you know, that base runner on second comes in to score on a bounding ball that just finds a hole just routinely now.
Charlie.
So game two was that little play where it looks like it, I mean, quick glance, it looked like it smacked. I think it was Strom, like back left, like upper, like buttock area, like right under the buttock, and then threw it to first. And then the ball comes sailing past the catcher. It's just, it's the perfect way to just say how bad the Red Sox are just kind of playing right now. Like, we had a 14 game series, and I think I said 5 is the ceiling, 4 is probable. We're 3-8 right now. So if we win one of the next 3, that'll be a blessing, because right now, Andrew already said it, the injuries are really hurting. We have no choice but to rely on AAA and AA for players, because everyone's hurting slash getting COVID, which just happened today. It's really unfortunate, but that first base has been a glaring hole. We just haven't been able to lock it down. It's really unfortunate. I don't want to place the blame solely on first base, but it's been bad. And, I really think we need, you know, Andrew already mentioned it, we need the All-Star break more than any other team in the American League.
The play with Strom getting hit was terrible. Franchi couldn't come up with the throw, and then the throw to Vasquez, Andrew was referring to, it just looked like Vasquez wasn't paying attention.
It's the only way to describe it. He's a catcher. He's used to blocking balls thrown 60 miles an hour faster than that, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm not making excuses. It just seemed like there was a little bit of a lack of
no excuse.
Awareness. Yeah. And part of that has to be on Strom too, because why throw it in that situation? You got traffic on the bases.
I'll defend him. I think he was in shock. I think because that hit him in the wrist.
It did, yeah.
No, I think he was probably like, you know, he probably wasn't even thinking at that point.
I thought he hit him in the buttock.
Well,
no, like,
it was a weird angle.
It might have after, but his wrist took the brunt of it. Yeah. But it was just a terrible play, and it ruined Sale start. We're going to talk about him shortly, but and then tonight in the final game, I mean, that got away from us. Like, the game just sped up all of a sudden, and it was an ugly series. It was an ugly series. 3 of those losses were somewhat competitive. You had the Bayo start in game 1. That was kind of out of hand pretty early, but we were within check and just failed to come up with it. And another thing on Franchi too, he's not a good first baseman. Like, he's not, perhaps he's not the worst first baseman, but he's not going to be a playmaker over there. He's not going to save Devers on a bad throw or Bogarts or from the mound. It's just, he's a liability at that position. And it's just crazy to me that it's been glaring this whole season, and Bloom hasn't tried to get in front of it at all. So, we'll get into that in the next show. You can tell we're frazzled, because I'm definitely all over the road here. But my dud for the series, I'm going with Jake Diekman. That guy just, it's been a bit of a roller coaster before the last couple of weeks. He's been up and down. He's had some good appearances here and there. You know, a few shutdown innings and high leverage, but hasn't been great as of late. In game one of the series, he came in the bottom of the sixth, hits a batter, right away, Taylor Walls. Takes his base at first, and then a couple at-bats later, Yandy Diaz hits a double, and Walls ends up scoring from first. And then in game three last night, another rough outing. I mean, he comes in. He does get a strikeout right away, Taylor Walls. Then he walks Josh Lau, and then Yandy Diaz again bites him, and hits a ball out to right, and I think that was actually the Ref Snyder play, actually. So, you know, perhaps the run isn't completely on Diekman, but just not a guy that's pitching well. And he was signed to a 2-year, $8 million contract, something like that. I think the Red Sox thought, despite his previous high walk rate, I think they identified something that they could fix with him and make him an even better reliever than he had been in the past couple of years. But that's failed. That's failed. And it's frustrating to see him struggle in high leverage.
Well, Diekman's had three straight kind of appearances where it just hasn't looked great. Unfortunately, I mean, the two appearances with Tampa Bay and then one with New York, he's gone 2 1/3. He's allowed 5 runs, 4 earned. It's just the experiment. I don't know if I want to say that it's failed yet, because he had a pretty good month of June. Month of May, he had one blip on the whole radar. So I want to believe that, you know, maybe it's too much pitching. You know, like in the month of June, he would go 5 days in between starts, 2 days, then three, then five, and very rarely pitch back-to-back nights. That's 3 games in 4 days. That might just be too much for him, and they just need to give him a break. Again, going back to, you know, one of the prior points that we were talking about, where this team really just needs a break, and All-Star break cannot come soon enough.
Andrew?
Sorry, my computer was trying to update right there. It always picks the best times. Yeah, Diekman's been up and down. The money isn't bad. I mean, it's like $3 million this year, $5 million next, which is, you know, middle reliever. But I think he's still a guy that the Red Sox could probably move at the deadline, honestly. And I'll probably get into someone shortly here that could take his spot pretty easily. I think a team would look at Diekman, look at the pure stuff, because it is really good. I mean, it is very good stuff. And I guarantee if he went to Tampa, he'd probably be like the next Eric Gandhi, because that's just how it works. But he's been rough lately. His control has just been subpar. I think this is one of those guys, as long as he's on your team, you just got to take the ups with the downs, and it's really unfortunate. And he should probably only be facing, you know, lineups where he's going to get two lefties out of the three at this point.
Yeah, it just seems like I think the Red Sox had higher hopes for him and thought he was going to be perhaps, you know, a premier seventh or eighth inning guy. And I didn't even hate the signing. I mean, the walk rate has always been a problem with him, but I didn't hate it at the time. So it's just been that, you know, much more disappointing. I'm trying to see where I'm not on baseball reference, but I was just trying to see where he was with his whip. Oh, here he is. Yeah. Is that a 153 whip? Yeah. So he's letting guys on quite a bit. I mean, that's up there. His 3.66 ERA, you know, is lower than I thought, but He's a guy that you definitely don't want him coming in with runners on, and I think Cora was doing that a little bit. And he's got, yeah, he's allowed four more runs than he has earned runs. So I'm just, well, we'll get into it next show, I guess, when we talk about the trade deadline stuff. I didn't tally up my box scores, but let's see, dishonorables. Dishonorable mentions. Jackie Bradley was 0-for-8 in the series. And Dahlbeck came in the fourth game to pinch hit for Bradley. So you're picking your poison, and it was a lefty on the mound, Jalen Beeks. So it was, you know, more logical, I guess, to have Dahlbeck in there. Didn't go well. Christian Vasquez was pretty quiet. 1-for-13 this series. He's been used up in the two hole in recent games. I don't think that's been working well. Seems like whenever anybody goes up there, it just doesn't work. Trevor Story, tried it with him on and off, doesn't work. So that's about it as far as position players. And then as far as pitching goes, I mean, we've covered Strom. He didn't look pretty well. I thought Phillips Valdez might be DFA'd. I thought that would be the move when Sale came up, but it ended up being, I think someone went on the injured list or whatever to make room for him. But yeah, any thoughts on any of the dishonorables?
No, I mean, everyone kind of earned it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to not, you know, if you get swept 4-0. So, no.
All right. We will still do the stud side despite no wins in the 4 games. So, let's Charlie, go ahead. Who is your stud for the series?
Yeah, my stud, this was, you know, not very hard, but I have some major bias issues. And that's going to be Chris Sale, who struck out 5 guys in 5 innings, allowed just 3 hits and 1 walk, had 68% of his pitches go for strikes. First game of the year after a very brutal minor league final appearance. If you don't believe me, just ask the TV in the hallway. It was just... it was wild and so exciting to get him to come back because this was a great opportunity. You know, we lost game 1. Chris Sale gives you 5 great innings. This is a great start for him. And unfortunately, we weren't able to win that game. But man, oh, man, super, super exciting to see him come back to the rotation because we're it feels like we're bleeding out and we can't stop it. But yeah, Sale, fantastic performance.
And the velocity was where it needed to be. It was hit 97 at one point, which, you know, he didn't touch at all last year. And the slider seemed absolutely on point. Once he builds up a little bit more, I mean, you're looking at, he's not a 1 anymore. I mean, you don't put him in the Gerrit Cole, you know, Jake DeGrom and, you know, Max Scherzer group. But he's a tier down from that, and that's what this team needs, especially when they all get healthy. If you have a healthy Sale, you have a healthy Eovaldi, you know, you're looking at a very promising 1-2 punch there, and that's what you need as you go on in the season. If you make it in the playoffs, you know, especially with this way, the new format, you need to win 2 games, and I'd take those 2 against pretty much anyone else in the league.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go that far.
In terms of a 1-2, I mean, who else in the AL is going to throw that? I mean, we're not going to face the Yankees. You're not going to face who's next, Houston.
Not in the first round, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, based off the teams that they're facing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if the White Sox don't get back in it, I guess you wouldn't have like a Giolito.
I mean, his ERA is what, like around 6 this year.
Oh, is it? Oh, is he that bad lately? Oh, my bad. Okay. I kind of stopped following them a little while ago, but.
So did their fans.
I think so. Yeah. I think the fire the manager season is still burning strong, and La Russa still has his job. But as for sales performance, I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think he was going to be quite as bad as he was in his last rehab start in Worcester, where he gave up 5 walks over 3 innings. His pitch count was 73 in that last rehab start. So I figured he would just kind of grind away and labor at times with this Tampa lineup. And it really didn't happen. He only allowed, 3 hits, 1 walk, struck out 5. Hopefully, if we're getting back to, I think vintage Chris Sale isn't going to happen for sure. Like, even the best case wouldn't happen. But whatever this newer version is, I mean, the strikeouts will hopefully tick up. Now, am I like, here we go, this is the start of a good run for Sale? I'm not ready to go there after one game. Once he starts seeing some of these divisional guys, for the second time, and he's still, pitching efficiently, hopefully, into the sixth inning, maybe the seventh, we don't have to really worry about his pitch count because we only got half a season left. But I want to see a little bit more from him for sure. And the durability thing still, kind of worries me as well. I mean, I've never heard of a pitcher getting a fractured rib from pitching. Like, have you guys ever heard of that in the history of pitching?
No, but we've seen weirder injuries too. I mean, you have people that have sneezed and cracked ribs. Wasn't there like a Detroit Tiger, a catcher?
Was he supposed to do it?
Oh, did he? There was someone a couple of years ago. I can't remember like who it was, but there was, I think it was someone on Detroit's team. They sneezed and broke a rib or cracked a rib sneezing, which blows my mind. I didn't think it'd be possible, but 2022.
I feel like Chris Sale got a free pass with his.
Well, I wonder what happened, because he like hurt it, and then he threw that live BP against Florida Gulf Coast or whatever it was, and it was live streamed. It was during the lockout, and I think it was Matt Barnes. He live streamed it, and Sale kind of dipped out of there pretty quickly, and that's like when it really took off. And obviously, he has no contact with the team at that point. So yeah, it was a little weird how it went down. It sounds like, I bet it really could have been avoidable if, I'm sure it was a strain that turned into a break.
Well, I'm not sure. Carlos Correa is a, position player, so that's not quite a fair comparison. But he had his masseuse broke his rib, and it just looked a little weird. And he got roasted for it. And Sale, I think got a free pass. We'll never know for sure, but it's just like, if that's the type of injury he's capable of, what's the next thing? Is there going to be a weird knee problem cropping up or something with his shoulder perhaps? We got 2 more years of him, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to his next start, and I hope I continue to be surprised. And we're getting engulfed right now by teams we thought we were out of the playoffs, the Baltimore right on our heels. The Mariners have won 10 games in a row and have leapfrogged us in the wild card standings. So this second half is going to be wild, but if the Red Sox are going to get serious and start beating some of these divisional guys, Chris Sale has to be a big part of it. Andrew, go ahead. Stud for the series.
So slim pickings, but I went with Darwinson Hernandez, a guy that no one would have seen, coming in to pitch today. I mean, no one even knew he was coming up. No one even knew when he was rehabbing, and he just randomly showed up in Worcester. He came back today. His velocity looked good, hit 95, averaged 94. They didn't make barely any contact against him. He had seemingly the best control of any game I've ever probably seen him pitch. If something has been figured out with him, that's huge. I think we were all pretty big on him going into last year. You know, I think everyone wanted him to take that closer spot. And he just was wild as all hell, and it led to, you know, Matt Barnes taking it. If he can be 80% of what we once believed he thought he could be, then there's your new lefty in the bullpen, because Strom's probably going to be out for a minute. That hand was probably mangled. Diekman, I don't think that's in the cards for him long-term. So a bullpen that had a lot of lefties is now suddenly, you know, back where normal, whatever the normal water line would be as far as carrying those guys. Hernandez has a spot if he pitches like this.
Yeah, I actually really like this pick because similar to what Andrew was saying, just to echo and kind of bounce off of that, we kind of forgot about Darwin's and Hernandez. He was kind of like, he went back to the island of misfit toys and broken toys. We just stopped talking about it. But in Boston, this is a team of infinite chances. You can struggle, and it's not a knock on certain players at this point, because this is just what we're doing because of limitations due to injury, limitations just due to physical limitations. This is actually a player that I personally wanted, and I know a couple other people wanted to be the catcher for the Boston Red Sox moving forward. It just didn't happen. So I really am curious to see what happened if he's been able to right the ship. 8 out of his 12 pitches were strikes. He struck out 2. It was a clean inning. I'm happy with it. If he can continue to do this, yeah, this is a great, great little replacement, and I'm happy.
I think I sang his praises the loudest the winter before last, and I very much expected him to be the closer of the future once they committed to him as a reliever. And it didn't work. Charlie and I went to a game, against the Yankees last September, just a couple of weeks before the wild card game. And then the day after, I went with another friend. Nick Pivetta started that game. That was like his get right game. And then he went on that run through the rest of September and then through October. And Pivetta pitched a good night. And Darwinson came in, I think, in the 7th or 8th, hit a batter, walked another 2, and then Stanton crushed him for a grand slam, and Red Sox lost that one. It's a small sample size what we've seen with Darwinson tonight and what he's done so far as far as rehab, but I'm not taking anything to the bank. I hope they have figured him out. I think I heard them say during the broadcast that the focus for Darwinson is to do more attacking now, attack the zone. And I hope it works, but it's going to take a little while before he wins my trust back. So we'll see, but I would certainly take him over Diekman at this point. If you're wondering where each one of those guys are on my spectrum. Okay. And finally, my stud for the series, I'm going with the game 4 starter, Cutter Crawford. This is, I think, his third pretty solid start in a row. He went 6 full innings. They trotted him out for the 7th, which unfortunately didn't go so well. A couple guys got on, and then Schreiber came in and had his wildest appearance of the season and just, you know, kind of collapsed. But for 6 innings, Crawford was very effective. Didn't walk anybody, struck out 6, gave up 6 hits, pretty sharp. I don't know what his future is. I think we do have a spot in the rotation. If Rich Hill comes back, I think that could potentially put Crawford at a minimum in the bullpen. But where are you guys at with Crawford? Is he close to winning a bona fide spot in the rotation, or is this just temporary?
So I think due to the nature of where this team is right now with the we don't know what's going on standard in Boston, I'm not unhappy if Cutter Crawford were to stay. Would I be shocked if he got sent down? I think it would depend on who stayed up or who ends up coming back from the IL. Arguably the better performance between he and Chris Sale before he got tried out in the seventh inning. And probably would have been my stud if it wasn't for, you know, what we witnessed. So I'm okay with him staying up here if he can continue to do that. If you can face Tampa Bay and do that, I'm cool, man. I'm totally cool.
I'm not too sure he's a starter full term. I think he actually might be more valuable to the Red Sox to be able to go a couple days a week. Between him and Winkowski, if they were battling for one spot, say the Rich Hill spot, that's tough, honestly. I feel like they've both had their ups and downs. I think it's a very close call. Actually, now that I'm like talking about this out loud, I think it's a coin flip between those two, and we'll see what happens with Winkowski. Hopefully this COVID stint doesn't take too much out of him. I really can't say for sure who I'd rather have take the number five spot if they were, you know, coming down to it.
I talked about it on the last show. The one thing I like about Crawford is he's searching for it and he's finding it. He got thumped pretty good a couple of times and he just seems undeterred by it. And he just seems to be focused on getting better. So I guess I'm more curious as to where the ceiling is on him. I mean, he's just that much of an unknown right now. And that back end of the rotation, I mean, it's just pick one. You know, not necessarily pick your poison, but you're going to have to eventually commit to someone. And I think Rich Hill has possibly pitched his last game. Maybe they'll squeeze in one or two more, but I don't think he'll be on the roster on August 3rd after the trade deadline. So we'll see. And Winkowski, by the way, didn't look bad. I mean, he went six innings, gave up four hits, three earned, walked two, struck out five. So, I mean, he's given you, a good chance to win every time out. I did see Red Sox stats on Twitter say that he's not getting a lot of swings and misses. So I don't know where he should be, but he's pitched pretty well in all of, you know, two appearances since he's been up. So I would take that too. Any more thoughts on starting pitching?
I think we just got to let it all play out. I mean, who knows if they're even all healthy at the same time? It could be a moot conversation.
Yeah, that's true. I don't remember. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Oh, so I don't remember the last time that we had a rotation where we lost four starters. I don't remember a time where we lost four. We lost Hill. We lost Evaldi. We lost Waka. Sale wasn't here. Paxton Sale hasn't even played yet. I mean, we've lost. It's like
Whitlock too.
And that, thank you. Yeah, we lost Whitlock when he was technically a starter too. So I don't remember a time where we lost this many. It's just they're falling too quickly. It's wild. It's insane.
And now that you mentioned Waka, I guess he's throwing bullpens right now. So, dead arm typically is just a 2 or 3 week thing. You know, they need a bit of a reset and can work their way back. But, so he could factor in again as well. He won't pitch, though, until obviously after the All-Star break. But, yeah. All right. Let's get into this Red Sox-Yankees series. We do have, three of our better pitchers going. As I clearly not prepared here. I get it now, though.
So we, yeah,
Evaldi is going game one, and he is gonna face Jordan Montgomery. Charlie, who do you have in that one? I think you're on mute. Or I lost.
I am on mute. It's like a habit. I don't know what we're gonna get out of Evaldi. I think Evaldi's the better pitcher. I just don't know. Like, it really depends on how he's feeling. I'm still gonna stick with my gut here. After losing four, we did decently well in the New York series. Granted, a couple of botched defensive plays from New York really helped us out. I think Evaldi will get enough push behind his team. Hopefully we can do him some justice, because it's been real sad that we can't even get that done. So I'd like to assume we're going to win game one. Evaldi, win.
Yeah, I think Boston knows they need it. It sucks at traveling. That said, the Yankees did go into extra innings tonight. They did lose. So, you know, they might be a little tired as well. Luzaga, he ended up coming back. He pitched tonight. So he'll probably not be facing Boston tomorrow. And we didn't really use too many main guys in the bullpen outside of Schreiber tonight. So the guys should be rested. I think that the Red Sox can win.
Game one, yeah. So the Yankees did lose 2 out of 3 to the lowly Reds. Just barely got the win in game two. 7-6. So perhaps we're catching the Yankees at the right time. And actually, if you go back to our series, they've lost 4 of their last 5 at this point. So, they could be, you know, in a bit of a slump here as well. I think finally I'm going to pick the Red Sox in a game. I did not pick them to win any of the Tampa games. I don't remember what I picked for the last couple New York games. I probably didn't have them winning the last two, despite that they did win. But Evaldi at times has been a Yankee killer. You know, Andrew makes a good point. Guys like Tanner Houck going to be rested. Perhaps maybe the hostile environment of the Bronx might actually wake us up. I mean, we have been a decent road team this year, I think. So I'll take the Red Sox here. Hopefully Story he's not going on the IL, so there's a shot he should be able to play at some point in this Yankees series as well. Game two. Lost my window again. That is Nick Pivetta versus Jameson Taillon. Charlie, go ahead.
I'm going to split it here. I think Taillon's going to win game two. Pivetta has just really been struggling the last couple outings. And he got tattooed against the Yankees. Didn't even make it past the fourth inning. Couldn't get out of it. He doesn't look comfortable right now. We saw 2 months of a beautiful pitching from Pivetta, but just to put it kindly, I just don't know if I can trust him right now, not with what we just saw from his last appearance, and literally New York was his last appearance. So I do think the Yankees will win game two.
Yeah, I'm picking against Pivetta till I see that he's fixed. He's been out of sorts lately, and I just don't think they'll have the offense in this game to match New York.
I can't disagree with Andrew here. Pivetta, he's just one of those guys that goes on these wild swings where he's a borderline ace and then at times looks like he's a guy who doesn't even belong in Major League Baseball. So hopefully he proves us wrong. I was talking about the game I went to. That was a get right game for him. But the only thing was that was at Fenway. This one's at Yankee Stadium. I'm trying to pull up his numbers for Yankee Stadium. Here we go. Oh, this is ugly. An 850 ERA at Yankee Stadium. So probably his worst ballpark. Actually, Kansas City is slightly worse. But yeah, not a good place for him. I feel like I would be a complete homer if I did pick him. So I'll take the Yankees in game two. Finally, game three of the series. And this is hilarious because it's a Sunday afternoon game. They had last Sunday's game as the ESPN game. But this time around, it's Chris Sale versus Gerrit Cole. So if only they could have predicted the future and known what the matchups would be. But Charlie, go ahead.
I mean, Chris Sale's one of my two favorite Red Sox players. He's still going to be coming back from, you know, this will be his second start. And Cole's been here all year. And the Yankees have five guys that can bang it out of the park. We feel like maybe we have one and a half. I have to go Cole on this one, and it hurts me to say it because I really love me some Chris Sale, but I don't think he has the offense behind him in relation to what the Yankees are going to be able to provide. So Yankees will take two out of three, and they'll win game three.
My only hope is that it's a day game, and it might throw Cole off a little bit. Day before, you know, the break, I have no idea what to expect. A lot of these guys, especially the Red Sox, could be, I don't want to say checked out, but just mentally exhausted and looking forward to that day off. I mean, we've all seen it, you know, Friday before a long weekend, you know, you work, you're kind of dragging, you're not exactly fully focused. So I think if Cole's on, the Red Sox don't stand a chance. I don't think the Red Sox win this one.
I'm going to surprise everyone. I'm going to take the Red Sox. I'm not saying I'm beaming with confidence about this pick, but I think Sale really wants to have a good outing. And Devers seems to have Cole figured out. He tattooed him in that recent series. Cole did bounce back and pitch pretty well in the Reds start that he had. They lost that game because their closer Clay Holmes gave up four runs in the in the final inning, and you know Cole pitched pretty well. But part of my basis for this is when the Red Sox see Cole a couple of times, in close proximity, they seem to hit him pretty well the second time. And a good example of that would be the wild card game last year. We had just seen him maybe a week and a half before, and then, strung together some hits. We don't hit him hard, but you know they were putting it in play, and so I think perhaps the Red Sox could potentially steal one here. Weirdly, I'm gonna go two out of three for the Sox. So you guys are what, one out of three for the Red Sox?
Yeah, I think that Andrew and I actually both called Yankees, Red Sox, Yankees in that order, Andrew.
Yep, that's what I had as well.
Yeah, so we sandwiched them, and you are going, Terry, you're going Red Sox, Yankees, Red Sox.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So you went Oppo. Okay. Cool.
I just don't have. Well, I think we all had Pivetta losing. I don't think you had that right, actually. I think you had him. You both had him winning the Valdi game. So you got win, loss, loss.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. My apologies.
Yeah. I'm the one with the sandwich. But, yeah, all right. So this is an unusually quick episode. Not a lot to speak of besides the depressing series that it ended up being. So perhaps the next show will be a little bit more lively, a little bit more captivating, because we're going to talk some trade deadline stuff. So tune in tomorrow or at any point during your weekend if you're on the road for deep dives. Take care.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.